If you would, keep your hands stretched up. Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your goodness. Father, I ask you once again to embarrass your people this week with your goodness. Touch the lives of your people. We thank you for victory. We thank you for healing. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for deliverance. We thank you that you are the all-sufficient one. You are more than enough.
Yes, yes.
You're beyond good.
Yes.
Exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. What we do not understand cannot hinder us today, because we come by faith knowing that you are greater than the problem, greater than the situation. And we send now forth your word according to Isaiah 55:11 into the lives of your people.
Yes.
We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace and your mercy today.
Yes, yes.
We believe we receive all that you have for us through the blood of Jesus. Give you praise, and everyone shouted,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Thank you, Tom. Give Tom a hand clap. Honor to have him with us today. What an honor. What an honor. Grab your Bible if you have it. If not, you can look to the screen or look to your phone. I encourage you to, whichever device or method that you use in following and studying the Word, to first make sure you're following and studying the Word. Don't take anybody's word for anything. Don't even take my word for stuff, because it's not my words that makes a difference. It's God's Word. I want you to challenge everything. We are developing a culture in the kingdom of God, not only in Hope Church, but I truly believe in the kingdom of God, where people, for lack of a better phrase, stop being gullible in the house of God. Stop being gullible and just accept everything because it's a trend. In fact, the Bible tells us in the last days, many people will be deceived. Deception is one of the tactics of the enemy, and the power of deception is that you're not aware that you're being deceived, because in your mind, oh, that sounds good. Have you ever had someone tell you something and it sounded right until someone set the record straight? Proverbs says every person's story sounds right until it's set straight. Every man's ways are right in their own eyes but God judges. And so we're developing a culture at Hope Church, and I believe that's going through the kingdom of God, where people just don't gravitate to everything. In fact, that's actually a sign of immaturity, according to James, that you're tossed to and that people will be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, which means it's blowing in, but it'll blow out. Oh, I used to believe God can heal. I don't know anymore. I believe that the Holy Spirit's real, but I don't know. Maybe he did. Maybe he stopped working in Acts. And all of a sudden, people start gravitating based on what's popular. But what is popular is not always what's accurate. For Jesus said, wide is the road to destruction, and many people find that. But narrow is the road that leads to righteousness, and few find it. Why? Because you have to be looking. You have to. If you only live your life based on what just drops in your lap, or what we like to say, what fruit falls from the tree automatically, then you're living at the level like everybody else in the natural. But you're just not natural. You are supernatural. Can I get an amen? You're called to be above the cut. That's what Peter said when he says you're a peculiar people. It didn't mean you are weird, you dress weird, or talk weird. It's that you live a different life. You live at a different level. Look to your neighbor and say, I live at a different level. This is not even in my notes, but we're going to go with it for a few minutes. Say, I live at a different level. You got to understand that even Israel, do you know when Israel was in its infancy stage, God was protecting Israel. When Israel was just a man, God was protecting Israel. When Israel was just a family, and what the brothers did to their youngest, to Joseph, they thought this will be the end of him, but they didn't know that he was connected to be their future provider. He became their savior. Why? Because down the road, he became the second most powerful man in the most powerful nation of the world. And one day, the family showed up. Those who were against him one day came to him. I'm going to speak to somebody today. Don't you worry about the people that are against you. Don't freak out if they don't like you. Because one day those who are trying to hurt you and harm you or against you, God will turn their hearts and they'll come back to you in the name of Jesus. I know that's for somebody. Don't try to get everybody to like you for God to do what he's supposed to do, because the Bible says he will prepare a table of provision for you, even in the midst, we got to remember that he'll bless you when everybody's trying to take it from you. They can't snag the bread off your table when it comes from heaven, because he is your El Shaddai. Thank you, Jesus. He is your provider. And so they tried to steal the future. And what they were literally doing is in an attempt to steal their future. And he shows up and they came to him. And all of a sudden, Pharaoh, who now Joseph had an amazing connection. And Pharaoh said, listen, bring your family. And a lot of people don't realize that. Bring your family and let them pick the best of the land. And they picked a place called Goshen. Say Goshen. Now, when you push a button and move up in time, we referred to this a little bit the other day, when Moses shows up and now the family's become a multitude, and the Bible says when the new Pharaoh that came around, did not know the old Pharaoh, did not know Joseph, nor his God, he began to see what God was doing as a threat, and they begin to try to imprison and put him in slavery. And for hundreds of years, they prayed for a deliverer, and Moses shows up. God brings Moses through the system. And all of a sudden, what God was using Moses to do was to defeat not just the army, not just the enemy, but the spiritual force, the evil force behind Egypt. If you literally go through all of what we know in Exodus as the plagues, they were things that God was doing against the gods of Egypt. So you have a God that you worship to. You have a God that you worship to that's over the water. Moses is like, let me tell you what's going to happen. The water that you think is the blessing from your God, we're going to turn it into blood. You don't understand it, but you can't stop it. We want you to pray to your God and see which God is stronger. God began to defeat. I'm telling you, there's people that are looking to the benefits of what they thought was an evil God in our world, in our day. But God's going to use you in the name of Jesus. God's going to anoint you in the name of Jesus. God's going to empower you. I'm speaking to somebody today, maybe not to everybody, though it's available to anybody, that God's going to use you and give you wisdom beyond your years, knowledge and skill set beyond your education, a confidence beyond and boldness beyond your past. And all of a sudden, you'll begin to do what God tells you to do with the power that God gives you, and you'll begin to bring to knowledge what the enemy had set up, and those the people depended on what they were calling their God and the benefits that he brought. They'll be bringing, they trust their system. They trust their evil. They trust their tactics. And all of a sudden, they're going to find that what worked before won't work again because something has changed. You have moved on the scene by the anointing of God. Can I get an amen? I got to get to my notes, but I got to finish this thought. And so God began through Moses to begin to tell him what I want you to do. And the interesting thing about that, and it always bothered me, Pharaoh, it's like, let my people go. And before Pharaoh could even get an okay out, God hardened his heart. That's what the Bible says. Why? Because there were still other gods that needed to be taken down. And by the time when it was all said and done, we all know the story, Pharaoh's like, go ahead and you can leave. And then changed his mind. God lured him in to a pit because God wanted his people to know, I'm not only going to be your deliverer, but whom the sun sets free, come on church, is free indeed, which means they can't be used against you no more. The people that were chasing you, the people that were talking about you, are you listening to me? I hear this prophetically in my spirit. There are somebody here that you have been stressed out, losing sleep. I don't know who you are, but there's people in your camp. We'll call it your camp. It's your work. It's your place that have been talking about you, trying to sabotage you, and you have been overwhelmed with worry. And God said they'll give a chance to repent, but if they don't, they'll be removed, and they will no longer torment you in the name of Jesus. But what sometimes we forget is that when all these plagues were coming on Egypt, the natural tendency is to think that Israel was dealing with the same thing. But the Word of God tells us that while the punishment and judgment of God was coming on to Egypt, stay with me, it didn't affect Goshen. Come on, somebody. What comes on the world doesn't have to affect what comes on the children of God. What happens in the world doesn't have to happen to you. Shout, I'm exempt. I don't care what inflation happens. You ought to wake up and say, they tell me I have less to spend, but I know that I serve Jehovah Jireh. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack or want of any good thing. I'm going to be exempt from this one today. They tell me everyone's dying and people are getting sick, but I'm not saying be stupid. I'm not saying going out and saying I'm exempt, so I'm going to lick every doorknob. But we don't have to be in fear. You go to work and everybody's freaking out. Did you hear? You just say, I'm exempt. That's not for me. I'm exempt from that. You can't be exempt. Why can't I? Because God has carved out a place. Come on, somebody. He told Moses. Moses was so hungry for the things of God. And on the mountain, the Bible tells us that God, he said, God, I want to see your face. And God said, Moses, you can't see my face today. Didn't say he'll never see it. You can't see it today. He said, but I've carved out a place for you. Come on, somebody. I want you to know, he knows that he has numbered the hairs on your head. He knows the ins and outs of your life. He knows the good, bad, and ugly. He still loves you. He knows that he sees your heart and your thoughts. He still loves you. And when you repent, he's forgiving you of your past. And I'm telling you that he looks at you with love and pride, and he has carved out a space for you. See, he's carved out a place just for me. See, what happens in the church world, we believe God will do it or can do it, and he'll do it for everybody but me. He's carved out a place just for you. And he said, I'm going to put you there. And I'm going to hide your eyes. And if you read the King James translation, or most translation, it says, and I will pass by you. And as I'm passing by you, I'll remove my hand so you can see the backside. Now, you don't have to agree with this, but this is what I believe that actually means. Because the things of God are of such dimension. How do you define infinite with finite words? People argue and get debates about God, who the Word of God tells us that he's without measure. He's beyond explaining. You could spend a million years staring at him and every moment continuing to learn something new you didn't know before. He is so amazing, that he brings things in simplicity so we can begin to almost taste them like baby food, so we can begin to understand that there is a banquet waiting for you, but all you can handle right now, come on, child of God, all you can handle, we've been living on the baby food because he's so good we can't handle the buffet yet, but there's coming a day where Paul says, I look through the glass darkly or like smeared up, but one day I will know as I am known. There's coming a day when we step into eternity and we'll begin to understand and know him and the goodness of our God, and begin to see all that we knew before might have been impressive to other people, but it's like pablum to God. It's not even touching the... Somebody make a shout. I can't go any farther until you go with me. This is not me. I can't go any farther until you ride with me. Don't look at me, because it's got to be God and not us. We could be exempt. The goodness of God... from all the enemy tries to do. Whew. See, I'm exempt. Come on, shout, I'm exempt. Well, I don't know if God will do it for me. Then he won't do it for you. According to your faith, be it unto you. But I'm telling you, there is a place carved out. And he said, Moses, I'm going to place you there. And he walked by him. Now, this is what I believe that means. This is what I believe, back to that thought. This is what I believe that means. I believe that God covered his eyes, his perception to see, his understanding, and then walked past him. And we would tend to think, walk past, like physically. I believe what happened is God said, you can't understand me within the context of eternity, because he's the great I am. He knows the end equally as he does the beginning, the Bible tells us. For you to understand and to even taste a millisecond of my goodness, you can't handle it. He is so good that if there's one fragment of carnality in you, you would implode. He's so amazing. He's the great I am. He said, but I'm gonna put you in the place that I've carved out for you. And I'm going to cover you because you can't handle the all of my goodness, but I'll walk past you, which means, I believe it means, I'm going to let you see not where I am in the moment of eternity, because you're still in this linear thing called time that I created for you. I'm going to walk by and let you begin to see not where I am, but where I've been. You're going to get a glimpse and understanding of something you've never seen before. I'm going to show you where I've been. And I believe it was in that moment and that we get from the translation, because Moses wrote it, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Why? Because that's where he's been. That's where he's been. Moses wrote that. Where did he get that? I believe he got it on the cliff. I believe when we worship, let me get back to that. When we worship, it allows God to maneuver us, position us to a place, a cleft in a moment that says, let me, I'm going to protect you, I'm going to cover you, but I'm going to show you something you've never seen. For God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I might not get to my notes today, but that's okay. I believe worship will allow God to reposition you. Not as just a song. Not just our voice. They can come and play. God said to his people, listen, I found out that you're worshiping me, but your heart is far from me. If you approach me with your heart, if you seek me with all of your might. David was a man after God's own heart. Moses was a man who wanted to know him. For the Bible tells us that Israel knew his works. How many times people are, I'm going to praise you because I know when you show up, and 2 Chronicles tells us this, when they begin to praise him, God set an ambushment against their enemies that had come out against him and brought a miracle. Praise God for his power. Say, praise God for his power. Come on, say, praise God for his power. Say, he's all powerful. He's more than enough. Instead of telling God your biggest problem, why don't you tell your biggest problem your big God? He's more than enough. Shout, he's more than enough. Shout, he's more than enough. And if you don't know it, let's begin to reposition ourselves and pray so we can begin to get into the cleft, the place created by God for us in the moment out of the passion of our heart, because we say, God, I don't understand this next dimension. I don't understand this next step. I'm hungry on the inside, and my mind doesn't explain to me because I've never been there. I don't understand this. Look at the ministry of Jesus. He did stuff that they'd never seen before, and it frustrated them because they couldn't handle it and manage it and control it, and he'd show up and it would blow their mind. Too many Christians are living a life at a level. It's not a bad level, but it's not the level that God has for you, because we live at the level that's been shaped and massaged and defined by somebody else's experience. God is looking for people who are so hungry that will get in his word and say, I know there's more. I know there's more. There's something in this book as I read it, and my heart is burning. Was it not the two men who walked with Jesus after the resurrection, and they begin to say, don't you even know what happened? And they begin to tell him about the events, and he begin to tell them about the revelation. They begin to tell him about what was in the paper. He begin to tell them what was been said by prophets, and they begin to walk. And when they got to their destination after the resurrection, he disguised himself, and they begin to show up. And when they sat down and said, why don't you stay with us? For the Bible tells us that he was walking as if he was going to keep going, and they had to compel him. Too many people are waiting for God to drop the load like a truck backing up. But if you're hungry for God, those who draw near to God, those who are hungry and thirsty shall be filled. Draw near to him and he'll draw near to you. You got to get a place that we have to get a place that average is no longer acceptable. The norm is no longer normal. That we got a burning on the inside and say, God, there's something stirring and I don't understand it, but I know it's about you. You have something more for me. And they said, come on, give them a praise real quick. This is important. You have to respond. Let me give you some side structure. If you're a guest, we give you anonymity, but let me talk to all of us as family. If you don't respond, it's not for my approval. It's not patting pastor on the back. There's a spiritual connection. The Holy Spirit just spoke to my heart about a month ago on this. There is a spiritual moment because he can't take you any deeper than your desire. And when you come to a place of complacency or distracted or boredom, whatever, regardless it is, you stop the tracks. You stop the train. So there'll be pauses in the track just to see, are you wanting to go a little farther? Are you wanting to go a little farther? Are you? And you can clap, you can shout, you can raise your hands, you can dance, you can whatever you want to do, that's between you and Jesus. But you'll always find moments in any service, if there's an anointing flowing, where there'll be a pause. And the pause is not that the pastor doesn't know what to say or there's no longer notes. The pause is a spiritual opportunity and an invitation by God. Do you want to go a little deeper? And if you don't, we'll stay right here and call it a day. We've been blessed. But if you want to go a little deeper, you begin to respond and you will draw into yourself what is only available, not in man, but in God. Shout hallelujah. Come on, give him a praise. 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 Hallelujah. I discovered this in my own prayer life. I would pray, and I thought it was about how long I prayed. And then I realized it's not how long I'm praying, but how far I'm going. And I could get into the present anointing of God through praying in spirit, and all of a sudden I find myself to a place I become distracted. When I got distracted, I start pulling out. And I would think, why would the anointing? See, I remember as a young teenager being hungry for the things of God and crying, oh, God, I want to know you better. And the first time the presence of God walked into my room. See, this is not goofy. This is not weird. People have made it weird. But if you want to be logical, everything we believe in the Bible is weird. You got a virgin birth you believe in. That's weird. You got a guy who never sinned and died on the cross for your sins 2,000 years ago. Well, that's just doggone weird. Don't let, Corinthians says that the spiritual things can't be received by the carnal mind. You got to believe it by faith. And I'm telling you, the presence of God, the Holy Spirit is so real, so tangible. There's been times in my life, and don't be spooky, don't be weird, don't try to force things. Don't think if you talk a certain way, it's going to happen. It's out of a desire for God in the routine of life. But there's been times I've been driving down the road, and in my car, the presence of God show up. And I would say, okay, Holy Spirit, what do you want? What? Something's up. Something's happening. Moses said, I want to know you. David said, I want to know you. Praise will reposition us. Praise will reposition us into the cleft. Praise will reposition us into the cleft. And it's in the cleft of the rock. It's the place, the cleft of the... Okay, we'll leave that. Some of you will catch that later. For Jesus said, if you hear my words and do them, then you're a person who builds your house on the rock. He will create a place in the rock to position you and reveal to you what you do not know, because there's so many levels of God. You cannot get to the end of God. We show arrogance when we think we've got God all figured out. Oh, I know what God's going to do. Really? There is levels and dimensions that only can be pushed into by your passion. God told his people, you worship me with your mouth, but your heart's far from me. We can sing, we can clap, we can raise our hands, we can do all the things that's supposed to look by formality, but there's no desire, there's no pursuit, no pursuit, no connection. It's in that cleft. I want to know you. And God said, I'm going to show you a part, I'm going to show you some stuff that you've never seen before. And I believe that was, now you can disagree with it, but that's what I believe. I believe in that moment, that's what God gave them in the beginning. God created. In the timeless past is the Hebrew actual definition. God created. See, God's got a place for me. He loves you so much. He loves you so much. He's got a place for you. But you don't get to it because he's going to back it up. Well, if God wants it to happen, if it was going to happen, it will happen. That's a lie of the devil. It's those who hunger and thirst after righteousness that are filled. If everything that happens is from God, then why have prisons? Why punish people that were just doing what God already allowed? No, what happens is because God created a system not to go down that road. But we're here to make a difference. We're to be the light in that darkness. And we can't be a light to the darkness when we're trying to be like darkness. And that has nothing to do with clothes or hair. Because I've met a lot of people that had the look but don't have the heart. Still lie, still commit adultery, still backbite, still judge, still criticize, still hate. And God invites us to the next level. You can stay where you're at. Or there's something more. Say there's something more. Lift your hands right now and just begin to thank Him for more. What is the more in your relationship with Him? Just, it's not all about money. More in knowing Him, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection. Those who know their God shall be strong.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is your pause right now to just let them know you want more. Thank you. Position me into the place of the cleft of the rock that you've prepared for me. I want you to think about something real quick. Before Moses asked, are you listening to this? Before he asked, God had already prepared. You can put your hands down. Before he asked, before God said, listen, I've got, he didn't say, let me find a place. He said, I've already prepared a place. I've already prepared this place because I knew you were going to ask. So before you ask, I created a spot. Before you even, before in the desire of your pursuit, as you were coming up to find me, I already knew what you were going to ask, and I knew what I was going to do. And so I made a place for you, and I'm going to position you to the place that I've prepared that you don't know about. But your desire for me is greater than your... Say, thank you, Jesus. Praise will position us into the cleft where we begin to see the power of God, as Chronicles said. We can see the presence of God. The Bible tells us that He inhabits the praises of His people. He inhabits the praises of His people. But the greatest reason to praise Him is not just for what you get out of it, and that's a good thing, or what you can experience in it, and that's a good thing. The greatest reason to praise Him is for Him. I want to know you. Israel knew His acts, Moses knew His ways. I want to know you. In pondering and meditating on the one text, have you ever, many of us have heard this story about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they said, O king, we want you to know our God is well able to save us from the fiery furnace, but if He does not, we want you to know we'll still not bow to your God. Right. And out of the frustration to the event, the king said, turn up the fiery furnace 7 times. Right. Some of you have been feeling like you've been in the heat of the fiery furnace. Maybe it's your job, maybe it's health situation, maybe it's financial situation, maybe it's relationship situation, and you've been feeling like, yeah, I'm in the fire right now. Because who you worship is important. Who you don't worship is also equally important. It's not, I'm going to worship everything, see if I can make sure I get it right. No, it's, there's only one to worship. And the Bible tells us that when they threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in, even that the guard who threw him in was killed by the flame of fire that came out and killed. And over a period of time, they begin to look and say, wait a minute, there's not three, there's four. Yeah. And they came out, the Bible tells us, the king says, let them out. And they came out, and there was no singeing of their clothes. And no smell of smoke on them. And when we look at that story, many times in most of my life, I've always looked at, wow, how powerful, the power of God delivered them from the fiery furnace. How cool is that? The Lord showed up and protected them. How cool is that? And then this thought hit me just recently. As cool as it is to be delivered from the fiery furnace, how cool would it be to walk with the Lord in the fiery furnace? Think about that. Praise God, he delivered them. But I wonder if the story told later wasn't, man, we walked through the fiery furnace and didn't die. Or we came out of the fiery furnace and we didn't even smell like smoke. Or if it was, I know what it's like to walk with a fourth man. I'm telling you, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. I don't know who that's for. Lift one hand, say thank you that you'll never leave me nor forsake me. That's what the Word of God says. We praise you today. We praise you today. We praise your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We praise your name, Lord Jesus. We praise your name, Lord Jesus. I'm just going to jump to one verse that I have of several. And then we didn't get to the notes, but I think I've had a good time. I don't know about you. This goes specifically to the person, and I don't know who, that you've been sitting here and listening and watching people get excited, but the devil has convinced you it's not for you. Have you ever felt disqualified to praise? Oh, I haven't grown up in church, or I haven't done much, or maybe I just got saved, or man, I've had a jacked up, messed up life. I'm not qualified for this. If you have your Bibles, we're going to look at the Gospel of Matthew chapter 15, verse 24. It said, then Jesus, New Living Translation, then Jesus said to the woman, I was sent only to help God's lost sheep. But the people of Israel. Now what's happening is this woman had a child that was being tormented by the devil, and she begins to try to get to Jesus, and she begins to beg. And the verses before, the disciples say, Lord, send her away. She keeps begging. Are you listening to me? When you're begging, the closest you can get is to just a person. He wouldn't respond to begging. Have you ever went in prayer and you're begging? Oh, God, you know the problem I'm in, Lord. I need some mercy. I need you. And we begin to beg. We think begging empowers our prayer. Begging didn't empower. In fact, the text says that she's begging and he doesn't respond. He's silent. Maybe the problem with some of our prayers is that it's because we're trying to beg to get God to feel sorry for us. And he's not moved by our emotions. He's moved by our faith. And she's begging and she's begging and she's begging and she's getting nowhere. All she's doing is agitating the disciples. And they begin to say, Lord, can you send her away? Because obviously they realized that she was so determined that what they were doing was not working and Jesus didn't respond. But then the Word of God tells us that she came to Jesus and he said to the woman, I was sent. I basically was saying, I don't have anything for you. I'm not sent to you. I'm sent to Israel. She was not in the tribe. She was not in the family. She was not in the group. Have you ever been that? I think we've all experienced that somewhere in our life, maybe in high school or junior high. All of a sudden, you try to get in the group, and you're no longer in the group. And you feel like, man, I'm outside. I feel the sense of rejection. I'm outside the group. Some of you feel like that when it comes to the things of God. The devil's condemned you to the point that you no longer feel like God loves you or cares. You feel like he tolerates you and allows you to be there, but you don't feel that you're celebrated and you don't feel like you're in the group. You don't feel like when I say that the presence of God invites you to know him, to know the Lord better, that you're invited to that next dimension, invited to the next level, invited to that next experience. And we think, well, that's for everybody else, not me, because I'm not in the group. And Jesus basically is telling her in first glance, it seems rude. How could Jesus be rude to anybody? And he's basically saying, listen, I'm not sent to you. I'm sent to God's lost sheep, the people of Israel. But she doesn't stop. Stay with me. Because if you want God to reposition you in the cleft, you have to learn to reposition you into praise. Well, I'll praise him when I feel it. I'll speak in tongues when it just overwhelms me. No, you can initiate this thing. You can reposition yourself in praise so that he can reposition you to the cleft. Come on, somebody. But she came and what? Worshipped him. She came and, say, worshipped him. See, you praise and worship. When she came, she came. She didn't leave, she came. I feel someone needs to hear this. Don't leave the house of God because of somebody that didn't treat you well. Well, I'm not going to church anymore because I went to this one church and that usher or that greeter or that parking lot person or that you know what I mean? They weren't nice to me. Well, blame them. Don't blame Jesus. She came and worshiped, pleading again, Lord, help me. And Jesus responded, notice this, it isn't right. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that first discouragement would send most of us. And again, she's getting pushed, a little pressure here. It isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs. Now, the good thing is, if you're a child of God, then healing belongs to you as bread. But see, the tactic of the devil is to get you to believe that none of it belongs to you. So we're going to override our perception and reposition ourselves with our praise so that we can get to the place of the cleft. And let him reveal something to us about him that we've never seen before. Yes. I hope somebody wrote that down. I'll never remember it again. It isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs. She replied, that's true, Lord. Catch this. She didn't say that's true. She said, that's true, Lord. There's nothing I'm going to experience is going to kick me off the tracks of calling Jesus my Lord. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. When it becomes about offense, then it's all about you. But when it comes about you, it's all about Jesus. He's the author and finisher of my faith. He's the beginning. He's the completer. Take the food from the children and throw it to the dogs. And he called her a dog. But she said, true, Lord. But even dogs are allowed to eat the scraps that fall beneath their master's table. What is she saying? Yes, Lord. I'm still going to worship you. But I know the character, the nature of my Lord, that he's so generous, that there's so much, there's some for me, there's something for me. Say, there's something for me. See, as long as you have a mindset that God is on a tight budget and he already gave out all the blessing or healing and peace to divvy it out and there's nothing left for you, you're going to feel like you're the little dog got to the empty bowl and that's just the way life is. You're the runt of the litter and you get nothing. Everybody else has gobbled it up. But I'm telling you that God doesn't live by that. He is El Shaddai. He is more than enough. And when you begin to say, but you're still my Lord. I don't care what I feel or experience. I'm still going by your word. And you're still my Lord. And I know that there is something for me because you are the all-sufficient one. If you believe that he is more than enough, take 30 seconds and give him praise. Hallelujah. Healing's not over. You're still the God that heals. Blessing's not done. You're still the supplier. Peace is not over. You are the great I am. Victories of battle have not ended with the Bible. You are God and more than enough. You get that one. The goal is to build that faith and tenacity on the inside of you so that when the words of Jesus ring true to the experiences of your life, where Jesus said, in this world you'll deal with trials and tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome. Amen. You're still the same yesterday, today, and forever, Lord. And Jesus said to her, your faith is great, your request is granted, and her daughter was instantly healed. What am I telling you? Your praise will position you, and your faith will enable you. Hebrews 11, 33. They obtain promises by faith. Hebrews 6, 12. Be examples or followers of them who through faith and patience inherited the promises of God. So their faith, so your worship repositions you. You have to reposition yourself in worship so he can reposition you to receive. By faith. By faith. Because you don't do it just by what you can quote off your mind. You have to get a revelation, a rhema. I know the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Why? Because I know that I heard or I'm hoping. I know. When you get a rhema, it's an I know. When it becomes a revelation, it's an I know. I know I'm still walking through the process, but somehow I have been looked unto Jesus, Hebrews, the author and finisher of my faith, and I've seen the end from the beginning because I'm following his perspective and not mine. And before I started the journey of this battle, I was able to see the victory that he brought me to so that the world will know, so that I know that it's not me, it's all him. And the treasure I have is in earthen vessels, that the glory. God doesn't get glory from your battles. He gets glory from your victory that he brings through your life. Come on, somebody. You might be in a battle today. You might be in a battle today. You might be in a battle today. But God didn't bring the battle, but he did bring the provision. Come on. First John 4:17, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Okay, I want to end, but can I end with one more verse? Are you okay with one more verse? If you need to leave, you won't offend me. I'll still love you. I'll pray for you that the fleas of 1,000 camels rest in your bed tonight. But besides that, I'll still love you. I'm joking. Another verse that we've all heard over time, Paul and Silas, remember that? And the whole thing about them being beaten for preaching and then imprisoned. And on the midnight hour, they begin to praise and sing praises unto God. And all the soldiers heard them. No, that's not what it says. All the prisoners heard them. And when you look at the text, you find the soldier that was, or the guard in the prison was sleeping. Hold that thought in the back of your mind. We'll come back to it. And so all the prisoners heard them. And the Bible says that God sent his power and just began to rumble the foundation. And all the doors were open and all of the chains dropped. Man, and there's been a million and one messages on that, but stay with me. We're not going there because we've already been there. If all we do is keep coming back where we've been, I think the journey, we're going to go a little farther. And the Bible tells us that the chains dropped. Are you listening? The chains dropped on all of the prisoners. Check it out. It didn't say that the chains dropped just on Paul and Silas. It said that the chains dropped on everybody that was hearing their praise. Oh, come on, somebody. Not everybody understands your praise because the guard was sleeping and didn't know what was going on. And he was awakened to the result, but he didn't hear and understand the process. He was awakened to the effect, but he didn't know what the journey they were going through. All the people that were in prison were hearing the praise. They knew what was going on and they saw the results. The guard was awakened and saw the open door and begin to kill himself. And Paul hadn't left yet. Now, I would have been the first one out. I don't know about you. Thank you, Jesus. I'm out of here. Think, right? Doors open, handcuffs off. See you later. Call me later if you want to do lunch, but I'm out of here. You were all on your own. But the Bible says, Paul did something interesting. He stayed around. And when the guard woke up and started killing, he said out of his mouth in the darkness, "Don't do it. We are all still here." And the guard, they took him outside, and he looked around and said, "What do I need to do to have what you got?" Hang on, somebody. There's something connected to your praise that moves beyond you, that moves beyond the problem, that when God begins to demonstrate his glory, it's going to affect everybody in the house, because you are a candle to a room. You are a light, a city on a hill. And then what God's doing in you, he's going to do through you. And it's going to affect and impact your family, your friends, and your neighbors. But it doesn't stop there. It's the love of God so much that even people that don't like you, you don't run out of that door too quick. Don't run out of that door too quick. Because what the enemy meant for evil, we're going to really give it to him. We think we've done good just when God delivers us. Oh, well, that's not the game we're playing. See, I like strategy. I like war. If it's chess, checkers, or battlefield, the thing is, when the enemy strikes, you let him know that he should have never even looked at you. Come on, somebody. You imprison Paul every time at another place, and they imprison Paul. They would literally chain him up to another guard so it wouldn't happen again. And they would rotate all these guards. And what they didn't realize is everyone that they would tie to or connect Paul to by chains, trying to keep them there, only kept them there so Paul could influence them. And they were getting saved. And it became a revolving door of people getting, oh, come on, somebody. The problem with our faith is a lot of times all we see is us. And all we think about is us. Oh, if only I can get more money. If all I can be happier. If all I can have that. And all we see is us. But Paul and Silas, they had a different mentality. They realized that there was more to this. They didn't realize that there was more to this. It just wasn't God deliver me. Because if they got out of prison and said, ooh, the devil imprisoned me, but God set me free. Well, we'll call that even. But they could walk out and say, the devil tried to imprison us. God set us free. And all these people, and even the guard who tried to imprison us. Because we didn't come just to walk out where we've been before. Are you listening to me with your praise? Are you listening? We're going to praise the God of more than enough with the idea that he's not only going to give you victory, but you didn't go into battle. You're not going to want to come out of battle looking the way you came in. I want to come out with more. Jesus said that a strong man is secure in all his goods until a stronger shows up, and then he can take his goods. I want some plunder in this mix. Are you listening to me? I want a stronger anointing. I want more wisdom. I want more experience. I want more blessing. I want more connection. I'll tell you, when you go into battle, begin to praise him. Reposition yourself in praise, even if you feel like you're in the pit, because down the road, God will use you to not only give you victory, but to touch a generation. Come on, give him a praise if you believe that. Hallelujah! Notice in that verse, Jesus said, listen, I can't minister to you. I'm not called to you. Most people don't understand that they're called. When you realize the devil's trying to keep you from your destiny, your calling. I got a purpose to be here. I got a reason to be here. God's called me to do something. And when the enemy tries to put a block, a pit, a prison, I'm going to reposition myself, not because I feel it, not because I see it. Doesn't Romans says that we're men and women of faith that are not moved by what we feel, hear, or see? I'm going to praise him because of who he is, and I reposition myself in praise. And in the praise, he's going to reposition me to experience and knowledge. And out of that, I can receive by faith and see God do what no one can understand. But I realize it's just not for me. I'm going to look around because those who are close enough to hear my praise, those who are close enough to watch the process, those who are close enough to know what God did, and it was God and God alone, those who were near David when he killed Goliath were weak and scared before, hiding in the ground, hiding. But when they saw God kill Goliath, they realized that it was not an average moment. It's not an average battle. It's not a typical what you would see before. That God and God alone was on the battlefield. Say, God's on the battlefield with me. Come on, shout, God is on the battlefield with me. Shout, God is on the battlefield with me. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And if you believe that, give him a praise for the next 30 seconds. Hallelujah. I'm going to praise him because I'm not alone. This is not the same as it was before. This is different because now God is with me. And I'm going to, woo, my God. Woo, my God. In the name of Jesus. Woo, my God. God is on the side with me. Hallelujah. Come on, give him praise. You're not alone. You're not alone. The devil will tell you you're alone. He'll tell you you're an outcast. He'll tell you you don't deserve it. But I'm telling you, he's with you. Hallelujah. You say, why is she so excited? That's none of your business. That's between her and Jesus. But when he brings you out, he's not only going to bring you out to the next level. Oh, come on. He's going to bring you out. And he's going to bring people along. And he's going to bring people to you. Oh, I love how the Holy Ghost works. So he's going to bring me out. He's going to bring people along. See, you're the light, right? That you may influence, Jesus said, don't hide the light. Put the candle on a place where it can benefit everybody in the room. So he's going to bring me out. He's going to bring the others along. And he's going to bring people that don't know him. Even if they were a part of the process to try to take me down or take me out. He's going to bring people to him so that new people can get saved. Do you see that? Did you see that? See, I'm not staying here. Look to your neighbor and say, neighbor. Come on, look at him in the eye. Say, neighbor, I'm not staying where I'm at. He's bringing me out. He's bringing others along. And he's bringing other people to me so that they can know him like we know him. Hallelujah. Why? Because you've repositioned yourself in praise. And your praise allowed God to reposition you to the cleft. Oh, my God. Say, God is good. Say, God is good. Give him a praise now, whatever way you want to do it. Come on, give him a praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm kind of glad that I didn't really get to my notes today. I'm feeling good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You are more than enough. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We honor you today. We honor you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, I love you, Jesus, I love you. I love you, Jesus, I love you, Jesus, I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, my God. Everybody stylistically is different. You understand that? And so don't get caught up by people that are a little different. They're louder or quieter than you. That's okay. But what you don't understand is the devil's trying to kill her. The devil gave her a death sentence with a tumor on her brain. But she's free. She's fighting for her life. She's fighting for her life. She's not fighting for your approval. She's not fighting for your vote. She's fighting for her life. healed in the name of Jesus. Healed in the name of Jesus. You don't understand what the people that are next to you are going through. We move too quick into a seat of judgment to judge the quality of someone's praise. It's not your job. You're not the one they're praising. You're not the judge of their praise. They have a reason for what they do. Let them alone. Let them alone. Let them alone. Lest you touch God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, I don't know what you're fighting for, but if you're in a battle in your life, let's take a few minutes and begin to praise Him. Not because you feel it, not because it's convenient, not because we're on a schedule, not because you're moved, but because you are repositioning your praise to do it because He's worthy of all your praise. Take a moment right where you're at. I don't care what, you might need wisdom and direction. You might need a miracle in a relationship. You might need a miracle in your health. You might need a miracle in your finances. Begin to praise Him. Don't worry what people think. Hallelujah. If we can't praise in the house of God, where can we praise? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are good. Father God, you got this. We thank you. You are good. Hallelujah. Woo. I speak peace over the hearts and lives of your people, Father God. I speak rest into their lives right now. And they'll know that you have this taken care of. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now praise Him. I know we keep doing it, but I want to get this in your spirit. Now praise Him not based on where you're at in the prison or pit or battle. Praise Him from the context of the finisher's view of the victory that He's got for you. Begin to praise Him that you got that job. Praise Him that you are out of debt. Praise Him that bill is taken. Praise Him that you got a clean medical bill, health report. Praise Him that that marriage is restored. Praise Him. Praise Him in alignment with the destiny that He's designed for you. I'm so confident in you, Jesus, that I'm going to praise you before I see it. I'm going to praise you before I see it. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. This might not be for everybody, but this is going to be for people who know I don't want to just go through battles. I want to win in the battles of life. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah.